Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, I was already telling the listeners that today we're looking at the promise of eternal sight, the promise of eternal sight, the promise of Revelation 21 verse 4. I'll read what Revelation 21 verse 4 says. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is from the New International Version. Oh, that the thought of such a world where there is no death, no crying, no mourning. My heart yearns. You know, when your heart just squeezes because you're like, yo, take me there now. I need to be there now. So the promise of Revelation 21 encapsulates the culmination of God's redemptive plan, offering believers a vision of eternal sight in the presence of God, an existence marked by divine comfort, freedom from sorrow, and the fullness of joy. This promise serves as a source of encouragement, hope, and motivation for believers as they navigate challenges of the present with the assurance of a glorious future in God's eternal kingdom. Right. So, first things first, how should the imagery of God wiping away every tear resonate with people's personal experiences of sorrow and grief? What should that be doing to us, that imagery that God will wipe away every tear?
You know, that imagery is very important. And I'm so glad that our discussions had this aspect of divine insight or divine foresight, if you can put it that way. Because what is happening here is that God is giving us a glimpse. There is kind of a panoramic view showing us to say, this is how you are living now, but this is how you shall live. So this imagery actually is very important, and it resonates with our with our personal experiences of sight, but also grief in a number of ways. Point number one, it gives us divine comfort and compassion. Okay? That's the first thing. Gives us divine comfort and compassion. And that is to say, the image of God wiping away every tear conveys a sense of divine compassion and comfort. Just imagine, you know, God kind of like visiting you and offering you that compassion and comfort, just like when you are bereaved or you are sick and a friend comes to cheer you up. So it suggests that God is intimately involved in the lives of individuals, and he acknowledges the fact that we are in pain.
Right.
So that kind of an imagery gives us divine comfort, but also compassion. Secondly, it also gives us the idea of ultimate redemption and restoration. Why am I using the word ultimate? Okay? You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know, he paid the price, okay, in full and complete.
Right.
Okay? Even death was actually defeated. But even if that happened, we still have sicknesses, we still have sin, we still have death.
Right.
Okay? But Revelation 21 verse 4 gives us now what we call an ultimate redemption and restoration, meaning to say, it shall be complete. There will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering, no more tears. Okay? Ultimate redemption and restoration. The other aspect which we also get from this issue is that it gives us hope for a better future.
Right.
Just imagine living a life that is hopeless. You know, you are in trouble, you're failing to make your ends meet, there is disease in the family, there is death in the family, but there is no hope that all these things will be wiped away. It can be a hopeless life. But Revelation 21 verse 4 gives us a hope for a better life. So for individuals who are grappling with grief, the imagery of God wiping away tears serves as a beacon of hope. And to me, this is amazing.
Because, you know, when you said divine comfort, I nearly shook in my chair, because I'm thinking when you get a hug from a friend or a family, it does like give a little bit of comfort. But now divine comfort, that means elevated to a level that we cannot comprehend. That level of comfort is something we will experience in its fullness. And that means the pain cannot exist because the comfort is overwhelming. I can't even imagine. Yo, can Jesus come, guys? We need to go home. All right.
And you know what? What you have just raised now reminds me of what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And in verse 3 up to verse 8, Paul talks about God being the God of all comfort. Just imagine. The God of all comfort. Meaning to say, when He comforts you, it's complete.
It's complete. It's
yes.
Oh, nothing can be left behind. Oh, God is so good.
Yeah.
Right. In what ways does the promise of no more death and mourning provide hope and comfort in the face of inevitable challenges? So I want to rephrase that question then, because death is still going to hurt, right? So then what, as a believer and with that promise of no more death in the future, how are we supposed to experience grief as believers? How are we supposed to experience grief as people who have hope of Christ coming? What is grief supposed to look like for us in comparison to other people?
You know, mourning, but knowing that we have hope at the end and there'll be no more death and no more mourning, provides a number of perspectives. The first perspective is what we call an eternal perspective.
Okay.
I want to find a way of illustrating it so that you can understand, but also our listeners.
Okay.
You know what? We are like on a journey. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are traveling. And as we are traveling, if there is death and there is mourning, there is pain. We are crying. Let's ride back and forth.
Right.
But there is a destination.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times we kind of forget to enjoy the journey by simply focusing on the destination. I don't know if you're gotten what I'm trying to say.
I'm listening.
What I'm trying to say is, we need to remember that the message of Revelation 21 verse 4 is telling us that, hey, there is a destination, and in the destination, there is no death, there is no mourning. But as you are traveling, remember to enjoy the journey, knowing there is a promise.
Okay.
Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Yes. So it's like you are flying, and as you are flying, all you are focusing is your destination. So even if you're given good food, you don't enjoy it. Or you are thinking, no. So the promise of no more death and mourning is providing us hope and comfort so that we can enjoy the journey as we look forward to getting to the destination. And to me, that one is giving us an eternal perspective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that since there is a promise of no more death and no more mourning, it means that that's an end to suffering. And since there is an end to suffering, it means that the pains we experience today can be tranquilized by the end of suffering, which is there at the end. It's like you are so sick and you're feverish.
Right.
But the fact that you are in the hospital and you know you're going to be given drugs and you'll be okay, that gives you a sense of comfort and an end of suffering. So it's not a matter of just waiting for the promise to be fulfilled,
right,
but that in the process of getting there, you still enjoy the promise as you're traveling to your destination.
Right.
Yes.
It gives you the fuel to persevere because you know that the prize will be worth it. It'll be worth the pain that you are currently going through. That's a comforting thing to share, Pastor. Thank you so much. Okay, so now the theme of today is the promise of eternal sight. Could you just unpack for us what does it mean that we will now have eternal sight in the presence of God, living with God. What is this eternal sight that that is being spoken of?
Okay, the concept of eternal sight in the presence of God mm-hmm. has a number of angles. Let me just give you about five of them.
Okay.
The first one is what we call the transcendency of earthly constraints. Mm. That is to say, the concept of eternal sight implies that God is going to take us beyond the limitations which we have today. Mm, okay? In the presence of God, believers may experience a reality that goes beyond the physical, a reality that goes beyond the temporal. Mm. So this offers hope, but also comfort, especially in the face of our earthly struggles, but also suffering. So that's the first one. Mm. We are able to see what's there beyond the earthly limitations, the things which we see day in, day out. The second idea in the concept of eternal sight is a spiritual transformation. So the idea of eternal sight also suggests a profound spiritual transformation in the presence of God. Mm. That is to say, when we shall get there, we shall have a deep understanding of God's love and wisdom.
Wow.
You know, there shall be a purification of the soul. You know, these days, when we are, as we are living on the earth, we can pray that God purify me, let me be, you know, your temple, your holy temple, and all that. But, you know, temptations are there knocking on our doors. But when we shall get there, it gives us a purification of the soul. It also gives us a complete communion with God's divine love and wisdom. So that all that put together, that's spiritual transformation. It gives us a sight of a spiritual transformation. Third point, it helps us to have a meaning, but also a purposeful life, a meaningful, but also a purposeful life.
Right.
Just imagine having this concept of eternal sight in the presence of God, but you're living on the earth. It helps you to shape your actions. Mm. It helps you to shape your choices. Mm. Because you know that you're not living just for today.
Yeah.
No. Mm. Whatever you're doing today has an eternal consequence, has an eternal repercussion. Mm. Okay? So this helps you to have a sense of responsibility and a commitment to living according to religious principles, but also ethical values. Mm-hmm. And the fourth point, the idea of having this concept of eternal life is that it helps you to have hope and comfort. Mm. Because if you are living today, but you have this concept of eternal sight, it provides you with hope and comfort, especially in the time of grief, especially in the time of loss, especially in time of uncertainty. You know, I usually think of death. To me, I usually say that death, when it occurs on the earth today, it should strengthen our faith in the resurrection. Okay? Death alone, when it occurs, apart from whatever painful experiences it brings, but it should strengthen our faith in the resurrection. Whenever I'm at a funeral, this is what I usually talk about.
Right.
Let it strengthen your faith in the resurrection. And lastly, the concept of eternal sight should help us to or should encourage us to live lusciously. Mm. So believers may be motivated to live, you know, virtuously, to follow religious teachings, to know that their actions have eternal consequences. And the anticipation of eternal sight in the presence of God can also serve as a moral compass. Mm. It can guide us believers toward living a righteous life. So it is important, truly, to have a concept of eternal sight in the presence of God, even as we are living now.
Okay, I don't know if this statement is true. Now, it's things I've heard from people that when we go to heaven, yes, our bodies will be changed, but the characters we have is we are going with them to heaven. So I don't know how true that is, but based on what you're saying, there is a very big responsibility we have to work on the way that we live today that shows that we know that there is something beyond just death, you know. But what I wanted to ask is, look, now that my train of thought has disrupted me. And it had something to do, with that idea. Oh, and I know what I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask, how do we make our faith our lifestyle? Because what I've noticed, and something that I've been mentioning to the listeners during the course of the week, is that I've noticed that Christianity is an aspect of our lives for a lot of people.
Yes.
It's something that we put away and we put on when we need to put it on. But sometimes we put it away because it's not necessary or we think it's not necessary. How do we then change? Because then what you're saying is, if we are living with that eternal sight of being in the presence of God while we are still here, it means that we need to be cognizant that God is there the whole time. Even if you decide at that moment you're not going to focus on Him, He is still there. Oh. So then how do we change our view of life and living and experiencing our existence as humanity, as a Christian lifestyle, and not just as another, as a separate part of us? How do we live as one, as a whole, that Christianity is part of our identity, not as a separate section of it?
Okay, your question is parked, but let me answer it this way.
Okay. Okay.
It is loaded.
It is.
You know what? Even though we are talking about the concept of eternal sight in the presence of God as something which we are looking forward to, living in the presence of God in eternity.
Right.
But we need to know that even right now, we are living in the presence of God.
Mm.
And I'm going to repeat it.
Mm.
Even at the moment, we are living in the presence of God. There is this song which I like. I've forgotten who sang it, but it says, we are standing in His presence on a holy ground.
Mm.
We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Ooh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning to say, the idea of living in the presence of God, we will not begin that time. No.
All right.
That time when Jesus Christ takes us to the New Jerusalem, it will simply be a culmination of living in the presence of God all your life.
Mm.
Hello?
Yes. I'm listening. Yes.
And that gives you an identity. Just imagine if I live my day-to-day life knowing I'm in the presence of God. If you live your day-to-day life knowing you are in the presence of God, God is with you. He walks with you.
Mm.
He talks with you. He whispers into your eyes and guides you.
Mm.
And He is with you. I mean, and this is what Christians were supposed to be, to remember all the time, because we say that God is omnipresent and omniscient. It means He knows everything and He is everywhere.
Mm-mm.
So, that time when we shall be in the New Jerusalem, it will simply be a culmination of that living experience.
Mm.
So if you look at it from that particular angle, my sister, you're going to see that being a Christian today will not be a hit and miss life which we live today, an up and down life, a seasonal kind of Christian experience. No, it shall be an all-time experience.
Mm.
With God,
mm.
knowing that He's with us as we are, you know, having this conversation,
yes.
knowing that He's going to be with us when we go to church, when we're worshiping, even when we go to see our friends, when we go to school, He is with us. We are always in His presence. So having this particular perspective is a game changer for a Christian.
Mm. And as you're speaking, it made me think, right, that maybe something that also affects how we view the Christian part of our identity is the type of relationship that we have with God. I think a lot of us, our relationship with God is so formal and it's so distant and it's so, you know, it's this scary thing that we are not sure how to deal with or approach, and that affects the experience that we have with God, and therefore we put Him away and take Him out when it's church or Bible study or whatever it is. So, how do we work on our relationship with God so that it is someone that I really look up to in the Bible, right? Is David, right?
Okay.
David was not a perfect person. David had problems. He was a very problematic man, right?
Yeah.
But the way he approached God, the way he spoke to God, you know, when me and my family were studying Psalms, I was literally almost falling over when I'm reading. And David is like, my enemies, I can't sleep because of my enemies. I don't want you to kill them. I want you to make them suffer so they know they mustn't do that to me again. Be able to say that confidently, knowing that he's not perfect, he's a flawed person, but it did not hold him back from speaking to God with a confidence and a claim that a lot of us don't have. And God called this man his friend. And that has to tell us something, that there's something that David did right in building and developing a relationship with God. So what do we need to do to work on a relationship with God so that it's personal? And when it's personal, it's easier to make it a daily living thing. Whereas when it's formal, it's difficult to incorporate it because now you are shy, you are ashamed, you are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's personal, you are yourself. You know that you're missing up, but you know that this person loves you, and you work on whatever you lack as you walk together. Yeah. So how do we work to get to that stage of a relationship with God?
As I already said, I don't know if I said it yesterday or it's earlier today.
Okay.
I want to repeat what I said.
Okay.
God has always wanted to have a relationship with man. Always. Okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, our biggest challenge and our biggest problem is that man has always looked at his relationship with God as only formal, if I may borrow your words, the words which you just used this morning. But no, our relationship with God, it should also be informal, kind of, if I can put it that way. I remember one preacher, Barry C. Black, is saying that God has a sense of humor. He wants to interact with us, and he wants to laugh with us. He wants to cry with us. So it's an issue of taking our relationship with God from where it has been and make it, you know, a closer walk with him. And when you talk about a closer walk with him, I mean having a realization, or let me use another word, having an awareness that he is always looking for me, just as he came in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. The Bible says God came looking for them.
Right.
God knew that they had been. And he came looking for them. Just imagine if we can have that particular perspective, that he always comes looking for me, looking for you, so that you and God can interact. You remember, God was coming to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, just to interact. Just imagine in the cool of the day, imagining that God has come to interact with us. It would be a game changer. I'm using that word the second time. Would be a game changer. You are walking out of your house and you're saying, Lord, I'm going out to work. And when I go out to work today, there are certain things that are not okay with me.
Right.
But I want you to be with me so that I can be patient, I can be kind, I can be merciful, so that I will not be rough in the way I deal with my co-worker. You know, you are interacting with God intensely like that. Life would be different. And since you talked about David, my mind quickly went to Psalm 51, and David says, "For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." Listen to David. He says, "You only." I mean, this is a friend talking to a friend.
It is.
So we the problem is we don't have that kind of an intense relationship, an intense social interaction or spiritual interaction with God. But it's all over in the Bible. Even in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock."
Yes.
Okay? If you hear my voice and you open the door, I'll come into you and I'm going to sup with you. Imagine having breakfast, having lunch, having dinner with God. in your life day in, day out.
Day in, day out. And guys, God is the one who chose us. We did not choose him. He chose us, and he's the one who gave us a second chance, you know. And that should be so comforting to know that the love that he has is beyond any other love we can ever experience in our lifetime. And that should be one element that draws us closer to God. We are running out of time. I'm so sad. But is there anything you can say to wrap up this week's discussion, Pastor? Last words of wisdom, words of encouragement that you can share with our listeners to wrap up our discussion for this week?
Yes. My wrapping up is that let's not live under our privilege as Christians.
Mm.
We always have to live above our privilege, or love, we live within our privilege. Mm-hmm. So what kind of a privilege has God given us? Having an eternal sight in the presence of God.
Right.
That's a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's like someone who always has an insight into where the King of Kings lives day in, day out,
mm-hmm.
and has a relationship. So my challenge to all of us is that let's not live under our privilege in as far as our relationship with God is concerned. Let's claim everything. He is always near us, and he is always coming to us, closer to us, so that we can interact and grow spiritually.
Amen, amen. I'll ask if you can do one more thing for me, Pastor. Please, could you pray for our listeners as well?
Yes. Let us pray. Loving Father, we would like to thank you for a wonderful week we had, looking at the concept of eternal sight in the presence of God, living in the New Jerusalem, and having the experience now, even before we get there. Some of these concepts, Father, may be complex, but I pray that your Spirit will help your children to process them and to know how we can live with this particular concept of eternal sight. I pray for our listeners, Father, in whatever challenges they are going through, that, Father, you're going to help them and you're going to lift their lives up, and they're going to see you in action in their day-to-day life. May you bless SID, AWR ministry, so that it can reach many, Father, who haven't been reached. May you be blessed today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say one last thing. You are a well of information. So I just pray that God blesses your ministry, because I just feel like there's just so much you have that is worth listening to, and that you have the potential to touch and reach a lot of people. I'm very sure that there are people who are listening who have a new perspective on a lot of things and on understanding, you know, what revelation is about the gift that God has given us, about the love that God has for us, and so forth. But basically what I'm trying to say is that I hope God blesses your ministry, and that it reaches far and wide, because you have the wisdom and the information to share. I just hope you have enough platforms to share that information with those who need to hear it.
Amen. Thank you so much for that encouragement, and thank you for challenging me to dare even more boldly for the glory of God, and may God bless your ministry too.
Thank you so much, Pastor, and yes, have a lovely day and enjoy your Sabbath.
Amen.
All right. That was Pastor Lubane. We've had such an amazing week. I am so, you know, when you feel that twist in your heart where you like, there's just so much more you can build up on something you're speaking about or something that you're seeing, but you can't. That is the pain that is hitting me now. This experience is not only a blessing to you who are listening, but even to me as someone who is still learning, who is still navigating a lot of things in my walk with Christ, trying to come to a better understanding of how to develop a relationship, how to understand the messages that he has for us in his scripture and all of that. It's such an enriching experience to have conversations with people who have been enlightened by the Spirit of God to guide the rest of us who are still figuring things out in the right direction. So I'm so grateful for even having this opportunity and privilege and platform to be able to learn so much more because, yes, everything that I heard this week was a learning experience. And yeah, I hope it was a learning experience for you too.
Tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.